Well, that's very clear. And I tell you, though, we the citizens here in Arizona are not putting up for it anymore. And we've called up our volunteer base. We packed, in fact, overflow two rooms during the State Homeland Security Committee hearings on this bill last Monday. And we tied up the state legislature for 4 hours with citizen after citizen testifying. Even the guardian angels who are working here and providing a great service to the community showed up at that hearing and said, wait a minute, you're telling citizens that we can't support law enforcement and that you're going to classify us as domestic terrorists? Pardon me, but what do you call the drug cartels and the human smugglers and the murderers and the robbers? We lost another young woman here in Mesa last week, killed while sitting at a stoplight by an illegal alien who had no driver's license, no insurance, and had been stopped three times previous and let go until he finally murdered a young 22-year-old mother.
And there are literally thousands of those cases. And you think of the number of people in this country, the number of families that have been destroyed, the number of broken hearts along with broken homes that have been caused. And you have to lay this on the doorstep of the White House. You have to say, this person, the lady you're talking about, you know, if in fact our borders had been secured, if in fact the government had been doing everything it could possibly do to secure our borders and to remove illegal aliens in this country, that person may very well be alive today, along with thousands of others that have been victimized, both murdered and hundreds of thousands of other people who have been robbed, raped, and in some way victimized by illegal aliens. The fact is that the burden that of guilt that goes along with that crime is shared by this government, because if they do their job, those people may very well not be in this country to commit those crimes. How in the world can a president call himself a compassionate conservative? Where is the compassion? Who is it for? Is it for the young lady that you just described to me, or her family, or the hundreds of thousands of others that have been victimized by illegal aliens? Or is it for this amorphous idea of a continent that doesn't have borders? I mean, that's what when I say people who are not really loyal to the United States, I'm talking about people who look at the borders as being insignificant. They don't matter. They're speed bumps on the highway, the superhighway of trade. And when you do this, when you think of it that way, then of course all kinds of things are ramifications of that line of thinking, including open borders and the kind of thing you're talking about that just happened in Mesa. Those people have to share some degree of blame.
Yeah, where is the burden of responsibility? And like you said, the guilt, and not only that, basically the deaths are on the hands of the president and the members of Congress, not all of them, but they refuse to respond to this greatest threat to national security and, of course, our public safety, as we've seen. And here in Arizona, we've been forced. We passed Prop 200. We're behind a new proposition that we hope to get on the ballot in 08 to abolish all sanctuary laws here in the state, as well as to enforce the employers to verify that their employees have a legal right to work in the state. We started a new chapter in Prescott this week, and we're building citizen activists across this country to help support legislation here. But what more can we do? Because it's still the burden of responsibility lies with Congress. Now, I want to turn this discussion quickly to during the midterms, certainly the Democrats took control. But I know at least 10 of those Democrats, and I'll be going door to door at Capitol Hill at the end of the month, knocking on the doors of these so-called blue dog conservative Democrats.
Yeah.
Have any of them joined the Immigration Reform Caucus since taking office?
No, but I am told that there is a possibility that one in particular who was a member, actually, who dropped out when I voted against the Katrina aid because he's from Mississippi, but he may be coming back. He's a Democrat, and he may be coming back as even the vice chair. And with him, we may be able to bring others. And that's another reason why I stepped down. That's a perfect example. I mean, this guy was mad at me because I voted against Katrina funding, because of course we were shoving money out of it was like flying a transport plane over and just shoving money out as fast as we could without any degree of responsibility. And we've seen now $100 billion spent, and you saw exactly how much of that, well, we don't know how exactly, but billions of dollars of that wasted because there was no mechanism to follow the money and find out how it was going to be spent. But that's all beside the point. The fact is that we will get some, hopefully, these Blue Dog Democrats to join up. And when people ask me about what the Democrats are going to do, I think it's going to be tough for them to actually push a big, huge amnesty bill because of what you just said. So many of them ran to the right of the Republicans they were running against on the issue. And they don't have the votes to do this, or it would have been in the, you know, the 100-hour agenda. It would have been one of those, one of those hours in that agenda, and it was not.
Well, I've predicted the same thing on the show and in interviews I've done, and I've been asked that question over and over in every interview I've done. Well, it's a done deal now that amnesty, we're going to have amnesty passed. And I said, no, not so fast. I don't think so, because I think the Democrats realize this is just as divisive and difficult for them when it comes to the special interest that they're beholden to. In a sense, that they're not going to dare touch this issue. I think, unfortunately, we have a de facto open border. It's going to continue to be that way. I guess I was pleased to see the president in his very large budget pump more money into border security. Unfortunately, though, there are some downsides to that he's cut funding, SCAP funding and things like that for local law enforcement, who ultimately have to bear the burden, as we do here in Arizona. So, you know... business as usual, I guess.
That's actually it. And I think most of this is for show. I think just exactly like the roundups at the Swift packing companies at various other locations where we've had high-profile actions on the part of ICE, I think these are just, and I think the same things with the president's budget. He knows good and well that the Democrats are going to control the appropriation process. They don't care what's in his budget. They throw it out the window the first time they get their hands on it, and so he can make a show of being supportive. He can tell ICE to get out there and do these things so that they can, during the debate on the issue, they can say, well, look, we're what do you want from us? We're enforcing the law here. We've done these things. We've rounded up 1,300 people at the packing companies, but these actions, I think, are just for show. They're not committed to it. What they're trying to do is get a guest worker amnesty bill through, and they want to take off the table one of the arguments against it, which is, well, why don't you just go ahead and enforce the laws we have on the books today? They're saying, well, we are.
Well,
one of the things that worked backwards on them, Chris, this is great. They wanted to use SWIFT as an example of, you know, first of all, they're doing this, their job, they're enforcing the law, and number two, how bad we need a guest worker program. But what happened? The day that all of these people were taken off of the work site, thousands upon thousands of applications were received by SWIFT for every single job they had.
And we see that everywhere. We see that in New Jersey and Cactus, Texas, where another one of the SWIFT companies. Basically, I think most of the people who were deported came out of that small town. People are now moving back into the town and wanting and applying for those jobs and taking those jobs. So we do see that Americans will take those jobs, those mythical jobs the president continues to offend us by and say that Americans won't take them. So in that sense, it is backfiring. Tom, we're coming up to the end of the show here. I appreciate you staying on with us. I'm sorry we couldn't take any calls, and my apologies to the listeners. Perhaps we'll get that fixed in the future, and Tom, we'll invite you back on and perhaps take some calls from
our
Minutemen.
If there's one group of individuals that I want to tell how much I appreciate their activities, it's the Minutemen, it's your leadership, it's all the folks that have given time, energy, effort, and money to the defense of their country. And when I say to people, you know, do everything you can do, well, I'm talking to an audience right now of people who are doing everything that they can do, and I just want to say God bless you.
Thank you, Tom. We appreciate that. TeamTancredo.com, TeamTancredo.org. Tom, I'll be seeing you in D.C. at the end of the month on the 28th.
I look forward to it.
Screening of a very powerful film, and we appreciate you being on tonight. Good night to everyone here on Minuteman Radio.
To Minuteman Radio with your host, Chris Simcox. We break down the myths surrounding the Minutemen, what the mainstream media won't tell you. Join us every Sunday from 7 to 9 p.m. as we protect your rights as an American on News Talk 960, KKNT.